It's The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyde. David Isay is the founder of StoryCorps. That's the radio oral history project you hear on KUOW. And Marcy, you talked to him about his recent book, right?
I did, not that long ago. It's a collection from the archives of StoryCorps, a 10-year anniversary book. David Isay has spent a career helping other people tell their stories. Since 2003, StoryCorps has gathered more than 45,000 interviews. It's remarkable. But the question is, what's David Isay's story?
Well, he stopped by the station recently, so I asked him about that. And David Isay told me that his first radio documentary aired on National Public Radio, and it was a project that he was inspired to work on after a major revelation in his own family.
That period between in the late 80s was kind of a transformative period in my life. And it was right around then that I found out that my dad was gay. And it was a shock to me, as my brother said when he found out. Our nuclear family just exploded, you know, and that's pretty much what it felt like. And I didn't really know anything about gay people. And decided, my dad mentioned Stonewall, which I'd never heard of, one day. And I just decided, I'm going to find out about this thing, and kind of plunged myself in and met these amazing people. Stonewall was a bar in the West Village, and it was largely drag queens in the bar. And they put up this absolutely wild, incredible fight against the cops, and launched the gay rights movement over a series of three nights of rioting. And there were still a lot of people who were alive from Stonewall, and I met those people. There was a woman named Sylvia Rivera, who was kind of the Rosa Parks of the gay rights movement, who threw the first Molotov cocktail at the police officers outside the Stonewall. She was born Ray Rivera and was this absolutely remarkable person and became a very close friend, probably the bravest person I've ever met in my life. She had devoted her life to helping street kids, homeless, transgendered kids, as she had been when she grew up, and just blew me away. As did, you know, it gave me an opportunity. I was in gay bars and met all sorts of people and just learned about this community and fell in love with this community by listening. And it was a transformative moment for me, for my relationship with my dad. Of course, this was dedicated to him. And I remember recording the first interview for that and knowing that this was going to be the first documentary I did, and knowing that that's what I was going to do with my life, and just thinking, wow, here I am. This is it, you know. My dad, actually, his birthday would have been a couple of days ago. He died about a year and a half ago. And this is kind of a StoryCorps like kind of call to action, because I had recorded a StoryCorps interview with him. He was an amazing man, a gay activist, and a psychiatrist. And I recorded an interview with him during the second or third year of StoryCorps, and never listened to it. He got sick a year and a half ago. He was working hard, like 50 hours a week in his private practice, got sick one day, was dead 9 days later. And I listened to that StoryCorps interview at 3 a.m. He died at 7 a.m. I listened to it at 3 a.m. And that was, you know, hearing his voice and knowing I have two, we were just talking about your kid. I have two young kids, knowing that they weren't going to remember him. And this recording was going to be how they got to know my dad. You know, that was, if I could have believed in StoryCorps anymore than I did at that moment, that's when, you know, the rubber kind of hit the road for me. It's funny, there was a moment in that interview. This is like kind of the vagaries of memory. I interviewed my dad, and he had written a bunch of books and was very proud of the work he'd done. And I asked him a StoryCorps question, which is, you know, what are you proudest of in your life? And I always teased him, because he said, my books, the books I've written. And I said, Dad, we've done tens of thousands of interviews. Everyone else says they're kids. Your books, you know? And he just said, well, sorry. And then the night he died, I listened to the interview, and I said, what are you proudest of? And he said, my kids. So there you go. Memory can be funny in that way.
What kinds of things did he do as a gay activist? And how did you, the other question I want to ask about is just how you found out that he was gay in the first place.
Well, I found out by accident. It's kind of a long story. Over the course of a couple of days, I discovered that he had a boyfriend, and it's the same person he was with, eventually his husband, for 35 years, a guy who was living in his office. So it all kind of – that kind of added to the shock of the whole thing. he was completely closeted until, you know, whatever year it was, 1988, when he came out. He was a psychiatrist, and he was one of the people, he ended up being one of the people who fought very hard to make sure that being gay or lesbian was taken out of the DSM-3, the diagnostic manual. He fought for, he was a psychoanalyst and fought to make sure that at that point they didn't let gay people be psychoanalysts. And so he had been like a rising star of psychiatrist, psychoanalyst, or whatever it was. And then he completely, everybody just dropped him, you know, and he did his own thing and fought with great courage throughout his career for the rights of people to be who they are.
How much did learning this secret ultimately, do you think, inspire your career? I know that, you know, turning points are important to stories. I'm wondering how big a turning point that was,
you know,
ultimately in
asked,
your life.
I've been asked every possible question through talking about StoryCorps for the last 10 years, and I've never been asked that one. So thank you. I think I was always, and StoryCorps celebrates the stories of regular people and these like kind of stories hidden in plain sight all around us. And I was always fascinated with regular people's stories. I was always incredibly turned off by phoniness, which is something my dad taught me, could care about like celebrity stuff. I just thought it didn't make any sense to me. And it was, you know, so that part was born and ingrained in me. I think the idea of part of what StoryCorps gives you the opportunity to do is, you know, ask questions with a microphone that you don't normally get to ask. And there is an opportunity to have honest conversations. And I think the idea of kind of helping folks not hold secrets might be what the motivation of what might be how finding out about my dad kind of impacted me. But that's kind of minor. I think most of it was just what was it? It's just what's interesting to me.
That's David Isay, the founder of StoryCorps, telling us about his own story. You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde with Marcy Silman.